I think one of my favorite moments and memories that I still have is
marrying me.
Well, yeah, but actually it was before that, because we went to a Family Life Weekend Remember conference and we had to write a love letter to each other.
Oh yeah.
Remember that?
We still have it.
We still have it.
44 years later.
And I remember reading that, crying it, because when you're in a relationship with someone, and even if you've been married for a while, we don't always say the things that are important and that matter. And there's something about getting away, taking time to focus on your marriage. It's just hard to do that in today's day and age and culture. And especially if you have kids, it's hard.
And you may be even thinking, I couldn't write a love letter to my spouse right now. And that's why you need to go. Because Friday night, sort of the walls start to come down. Saturday, God starts to work. And things you didn't know that you felt, you'll start feeling again.
And maybe your marriage is doing great and you just need a little pick-me-up. But maybe you're just struggling, thinking, I don't know if we're going to make it. Why wouldn't you come to this?
And I'd say sign up today. You know why? 50% off. Did you hear me? 50% off, which means you get half off on the registration for the weekend, and you don't want to miss that opportunity. So here's how you do it. Go to familylifetoday.com and click on the banner there to sign up for any Weekend to Remember in any city in the country. You can go anywhere you want. They're all over the country.
And let me just add, this could be a great gift you give to your kids, your grandkids, your friends, your neighbor, a coworker. This could be an incredible gift.
Yeah, and this registration, 50% off, goes till January 20th. So again, it's familylifetoday.com, or you can call us at 1-800-358-6329. That's 800, F as in family, L as in life, and the word today.
What's one of the fruits of the Spirit I can do right now? Is it patience? Is it self-control with my mouth? I also find that if I can just pray in the moment for what God can do in me and show me, because sometimes I'm not seeing it, I need to see that truth, but I'm going to pick up a fruit of the Spirit.
Welcome to Family Life Today, where we want to help you pursue the relationships that matter most. I'm Ann Wilson.
And I'm Dave Wilson, and you can find us at familylifetoday.com. This is Family Life Today.
We have had a fun few days talking to Ron and Nan Deal. They have a new book out, and it has been very convicting, challenging,
I feel
wonderful.
Like we've been talking about our marriage, even though we're talking about your marriage.
Me too.
I honestly think most of our listeners are feeling the same thing. Mm-hmm. You are describing cycles, stuckness in our usness because of you-ness and me-ness.
It's true. If you haven't listened to the previous two episodes with them, go back, listen to those, because they're so helpful. You're going to identify with all of this. I think there's not a person on the planet that does not need to be reminded of who they are in Christ, but also our brokenness from the past affects who we are today, mm-hmm. and in our relationships, it affects us. We've been talking a lot about what this looks like in marriage, the mindful marriage. What does mindful mean? Mm. Why is it mindful?
Let me just read from the book. Mindfulness is this idea that you're very aware of what's going on. Like sometimes you'll say, I'm mindful of my children and what's going on with their day. So you're bearing in mind something about their life. We're using mindfulness to describe being very aware of myself and what's going on with me in the midst of this marriage or our usness that I'm contributing to. Being mindful involves fully attending to what you are feeling, what you do with those feelings, and the impact they have on your marital us. I think we know the pieces. One of the things this material that's taught us is it's putting the pieces together in a way that actually moves you from the worst of who you are. You know, those moments where you just sort of totally get discombobulated and lose yourself. That's just terrible. Why
that
did
never
I do that?
Happens in our marriage.
We all do it. It's the human experience.
Constantly.
So how do I move away from that into the fruit of the Spirit, into being more like Christ? And that's the journey Ultimately, this is all about discipleship more than it's about marriage. Mm. And that's why it's a challenge, because it gets to the core of who we are.
So what does that look like? We've talked about it for the last 2 days, but let's go through specifically. If you are being triggered by a child, by a spouse, if you're being dysregulated and you can find yourself falling into the old patterns that you've always done, the old dance, walk us through, what do I need to do right then?
I mean, if you want, you can use me.
Okay.
Okay, so we did the assessment.
Yeah.
All right, and if you don't know what I'm talking about, go to familylife.com/mindfulmarriage. There's an assessment there that can help you see what you do when you're dysregulated. So yeah, I did it, and my biggest one's probably escape.
Okay.
But I have blame escape.
Okay.
It's not my fault, it's your fault. If I hadn't married you, if I had, you know, whatever, mm-hmm. the way you just mm-hmm. responded is, you know, it's your fault. It's never my fault.
Okay.
You talk about pride, there's pride.
Yeah.
I'm not humble enough to even look in the mirror and go, no, I'm a, and then because of that, I escape.
Okay.
I escaped into work. I'm been given some gifts, so I go use them.
Yep.
Stand on a stage and play a guitar or preach or sports. And I would run from Ann in our marriage, even my boys, into another world.
Okay.
That, you know what? Felt great.
Yes.
Never even thought about us.
Right.
But I could feel it as I pulled back into the driveway. Oh, here we go.
Okay. So let's chase the breadcrumbs. So you know what you do when you get triggered. What's the pain behind being triggered? So you just sort of gave a clue there when you said, in one space, I feel really great about who I am and what's happening, and I get to excel and I'm in my element.
Yeah. I'm hearing adequacy.
There you go. So what's the pain behind that? What's the thing you don't have that you sort of want to escape from?
I mean, I don't feel worthy. I don't feel seen.
Worthy is one of those elements of I don't feel loved. That's really one of the things that helps us to feel like we're important and special and loved.
Right.
It's connected there.
And I did it my whole life. I mean, Ann knows, you know, I was raised by a single mom. My brother dies, so it's just the two of us.
Mm-hmm.
I was never home.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be home.
Yeah.
And out there, man, I'm making three-pointers and I'm singing and girls are going, wow. And I walk in my house and it's just my mom's drinking. There's no way there. I'll see you later. And I get in the car and I drive away again.
So here's,
I didn't want to be there.
Here's what you escape. Do the next time you have a moment where you feel like Anne is not prioritizing you, not seeing you, and you're just feeling sort of alone. You start saying out loud the four steps. You're going to pinpoint your pain, what you do with it, and what the truth is, and you're going to learn this process for yourself.
Yeah.
So step one is say what you feel, and you're going to say it out loud. So for you, it would be a comment of, I'm feeling, and you can use the word, like inadequate, I'm feeling not seen, I'm feeling unworthy.
Unloved.
I feel not enough.
Okay.
I won't be the husband she wants or the dad she needs.
And number two is say what you usually do with that. And what I usually do is...
I will turn on the TV and watch sports.
Escape.
Escape.
I escape into TV. Mm-hmm. Or I escape into an activity that gets me out of that moment.
Yeah. I might grab my guitar, close the door, and play a song.
Okay, so let's just pause for a second, because here's the reflection that Nan and I have had about this process. Once you know steps one and two, this is your old self. This is the thing that is so automatic in your brain. You never think about it. You never choose it. You never say, you know what? I think I'm going to escape into TV right now because I'm feeling inadequate. It is neurological in your body. What's so humbling about this is that you go, but I'm an educated, learned person. I'm a pretty sophisticated guy. I've got degrees and I know better than that. Now, if you sat me down and said, now, is this God's truth for your life? You'd say, no, that's stupid. I don't want to live that way. And yet you will do it every time you feel that pain because it is in you. This is why Romans 7, Paul says, why do I keep on doing the things that I don't want to do?
Yeah.
Because there is a reactivity in him. He's not thinking, it just happens. Mm. That's steps one and two. There's not much hope in one and two, which is why we need three and four.
Let me go to my one and two to see how that bounces off of each other.
Oh, good.
Your usness.
Let's say Dave walks in the door and he turns on the TV and there's three kids in the house, five, three, and a newborn.
Say your pain. What do I feel?
I am so angry, first of all. Mm-hmm. I'm so angry, but I would blame, I would shift into my blame mm-hmm. normally and say, I do everything.
But stay with your feelings.
Yeah, yes. I know. I'm yes. saying this is how I would fall back into my old rut. Yeah. I do everything. Mm-hmm. He doesn't see me, but if it was feelings, I'm not loved.
Yep.
I feel not worthy.
Okay. I'm going to help you refine
not
that.
Important.
Because in the book, you'll learn that anger, yes, it's a painful feeling, but it's actually something you do.
Mm.
Shame is something you feel, but it's something you do to yourself.
Mm.
Anger is something you do to somebody else. It's a form of, in the blame category. Yeah. There's a number of ways we do these things. Let me just encourage you to blame, criticize, and get angry. That's what you do. That's step two. Step one is I feel unloved. So just say those fresh.
Yeah. I feel totally unloved.
She added totally.
And what I typically do.
Just a little. By the way, completely unloved.
By the way, rule one is don't help your spouse do their steps.
That's right.
Because I'm that so dysregulates good. The process. So say that again. I feel unloved. I and feel then here's unloved. What I do with it.
Okay. I feel totally unloved. And here's what I do with it. I blame and I control.
Okay. So we got steps one and two for both of you.
Yeah.
Step three is the God's capital T truth that speak directly to the pain in step one. This is where it takes a little work, and we guide people in the book through the process of saying, so from God's point of view and objectively, what is really, is it true that I'm inadequate, Dave? Is it true that I'm unloved, like totally unloved? That if I stop and think about Dave and his walk with me and our us-ness, does he love me? It's just that in this moment, I don't feel loved. So there's this stepping back from it to say, in this moment, I don't feel it. But if I look at the grand scope of our life, I definitely can see that. And it's not just about him. This is more about you, mm-hmm. like separate and apart from what Dave has done.
Right.
God loves me. I know I got that going for me. Am I a capable person? This is often the hardest part where it's like, do I feel like I can be lovable? Like you want your voice mm-hmm. speaking into that, not just Dave's voice.
Mm.
In fact, it's more importantly your voice than his. And for you, I felt that as a kid. I didn't feel like I was good enough and nobody cared. But am I a person of worth and dignity and adequacy? And can I see that about myself? Can I join God in what he says about me? And
I think
say
that's
that
a big
over
component.
Myself.
Can I join God in what he says about me?
That's so important. Mm-hmm. It's not enough that you know God says this about you.
Mm-hmm.
We all read that in the Bible all the time, but we live life as if it's not true because it's my voice that's the biggest voice in my head.
Mm. Now, what if, we're talking about us,
mm-hmm.
and in many ways, we are good-willed people.
Yes.
We're not trying to hurt each other.
That's exactly
right.
We're
trying to work this out. But what if you're sitting with a couple and he's or she's verbally or physically abusing? And so you're saying, are you loved? And she's like, no, every day he tells me I'm a, it's terrible words.
He
may hit
me.
Her.
Yes.
And I'm supposed to do, what do you say to that couple?
Well, first of all, we believe this process will help you to see the dignity and worth and value that you have mm-hmm. that your husband is not showing you. And so we actually think you're going to pursue safety more quickly when you know your capital T truth.
Mm.
You're no longer going to go, yeah, I just think if I work a little harder, then he'll be nice. You're going to give up on that little piece because it's never going to work. So please hear us now. We want you to pursue safety.
Safety.
And that physical safety.
Physical
out.
Safety.
Physical
that's
safety.
Number
Get
one.
Yes.
Yeah. Nothing's going to change in your relationship as long as you're subjected to that same old scenario. So I don't know what that means. I don't know that it means flying in the middle of the night, but it certainly means telling somebody who can help bring some guidance and some outside objectivity to this process rather than you continually trying to figure out what you can do to fix the relationship. That has not worked yet. It will never work.
Mm.
So we never want anybody to hear us say, yeah, you're stuck. Just keep working on you. No. Physical safety is an absolute must because it's forcing the other person to acknowledge that they're doing something that's wrong. That's not love, honor, and cherish.
Yeah.
Which is what they said they would do. That's blame, control, and manipulate. So there needs to be some accountability to that process.
Yeah, that's good. So okay. When we get to step three and we are able to wrap our mind around truth, big T, who I am in Christ, I am worthy.
And you're claiming it for yourself. Yeah. It's not just what Christ says, but you're claiming that, you're owning, you're saying,
believing it.
I'm believing it.
Yeah. And you're saying, even yesterday, I like that you guys said, sometimes just do it out loud.
Yes.
Do your work out loud.
By the way, all this stuff we're doing right now, you're going to do out loud when he walks in and sits down in front of the TV.
Okay. Say what I should do.
So let's keep going real quick. Step three is, what would your step three be?
Big T truth. I think it would be, I am seen, mm-hmm. I am loved, and I am worthy. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't depend on Dave's actions.
Wow. See, I even see the emotion that brings to you to just even say that.
Like, yeah.
See how deep that touches?
Yes.
This speaks to stuff that is very important and real that impacts you at a visceral level.
And
in
I
life.
Like the idea of thinking it in my mind, but there's something too when you then say it
out loud.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's some of that emotion connected to, we've been carrying these bags for decades,
maybe
our whole life.
I think so.
And now we're starting to, Jesus is cutting.
Yep.
He already
did.
Yeah.
Right. And now you're embracing what Jesus is offering. You
yes.
Know? So what's your step three?
I am worthy. I am adequate. I am a good man. I'm a good husband. I'm a good dad. I can do this.
And keep in mind, that's in the moment, that's even in the face of a look from her that says, you're not enough for me right now. Mm. You're claiming this for yourself. Step four is where it gets real. So if that is true, here's how I'm going to act in this moment. I normally am escaping into TV or an activity that I can excel in. But in this moment, instead of going away from her, perhaps it's moving toward her. Perhaps it's, I'm going to act with the adequacy that I have and take agency over my life and do something. I don't know what that is. Do you have a sense of that?
Yeah, I mean, I immediately think, again, I think when our boys were little, they're not now. I mean, even now with grandkids, engage.
Exactly. Engage.
Walk in the kitchen, engage. Don't even turn on the TV. Right. Literally, like, what do you need? How can I help? Pick up one of the grandkids, run out in the backyard, play with them.
And the standard of what you're going to do is not what you think she wants you to do, but it's what you feel like you can do.
Yeah.
As a person of worth, of his value, his dignity, has something to offer.
Something I tell myself is, I say, what's one of the fruits of the Spirit I can do right now?
Mm. That's good.
What's one that needs to come to light? Is it patience? Is it self-control with my mouth? I also find that if I can just pray in the moment for what God can do in me and show me, because sometimes I'm not seeing it. Mm. I need to see that truth, but I'm going to pick up a fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah. We like to say, if you don't have anything else, you know, you can do, you can always do a fruit of the Spirit. That,
exactly.
That could be step four if you don't have anything else.
1 Corinthians 13. I mean, what is love?
Yeah.
God calls us to all of that. It's not a record of wrongs, but it's patience and kind, you know.
I think too, it's important, maybe especially for me as a woman, that this isn't dependent. My next step isn't dependent on my feelings. Mm-hmm. I can say all those things and I'm it's almost like I'm training my brain.
Yeah.
And so to do the next thing is an act of my will, not necessarily an emotion that I feel.
Sure.
For you, what would that look like, step four?
It would be to go greet Dave and to welcome him in instead of, why is the TV on? We've got a lot of things going on right now.
Right.
Yeah. Instead of blaming, it would be to welcome him and to love him. Maybe just to hug him.
You know, and now that you've unpacked this in front of one another, you know a little bit more about the other person. So in that moment, you might be able to see, if he's retreating, you might be able to actually see, oh, he's feeling inadequate. Mm-hmm. He's feeling the not enough thing.
Right.
At some point, probably not in the beginning, but eventually you might actually be able to move toward that part of him.
Right.
Rather than the part of you that's feeling the pain.
Right. And I know that when I'm not blaming or shaming, or I'm joyful, I'm free. Mm. And I know that's what draws Dave to me.
Okay, so let's put this all together. And I don't know how much time we have. Maybe we can streamline this. But imagine you're in with the grandkids and Dave walks in and he says, hey, and then he plops in front of the TV and turns it on. And all of this stuff hits, boom, 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 boom. He's feeling what he's feeling before he walked in. You're feeling that in response to the TV thing. And instead of doing what you used to do, one of you goes first. Doesn't matter who it is. And says out loud the four steps that you just says out loud in front of the other person's presence and awareness. All four of those things. Mm. So maybe go through the motions, but then also imagine how would you react or respond to the other person if they did that? How would it change it for you?
Oh, you're so like, I would be in awe.
He sits down, plops in front of the TV, and you walk in, you see that, and you feel the trigger. Trigger's not going to go away. Trigger's there. And you go, I know what this is. Say your pain and what you normally do.
I'm feeling unloved. When you do that, and I know that, what I would usually do is blame you and get angry.
Good.
But what I want to do is invite you in. Mm. Like, I'm so happy that you're home.
Mm. Good. And if she said that out loud, rather than what she normally does,
I'd probably pick her up and carry her around the kitchen.
Yeah. It gets a little bit easier to move to order, doesn't it?
Ecstatic.
Yeah.
I'm joking, but there would be life coming to my soul. And again, mm-hmm. it's not based on her.
Exactly.
But it would bring life.
And you would, let's say you could just go through your four steps. You know, you'd have life, you'd move toward her and you'd go, yeah. And you know what? The reason I came in and sat down is because I feel inadequate, feel like I don't belong. I don't feel, and what I usually do is just escape. I know that's what that was. Yep, that was escape. The truth is I'm learning my agency. I'm learning this about me. I'm starting to claim what God's telling me about myself. And man, I do want to move toward you. I want to move toward a grand. What can I do?
Exactly.
The point is, as each of you takes responsibility for you, your worst self, the worst part of you, and changing that into something new, it does feed your usness. Mm. It doesn't fix everything right away. And there's often resentment and pain left over from the past because this has happened more than once. But at least it's moving toward newness. That both of you feel like is fresh and gives you a wind.
And what I want to say to the listener is, didn't it feel a little clunky at first doing this?
Yeah, mm-hmm. for sure.
It takes practice.
Yeah. Mm.
It does. It took a good, I would say, 3 months for me to find out who I was, what my pain was, what I truly do in my pain, what the truth is, and what I'm going to walk out with God in the truth. And I would write those out and journal about those, but I would also say them out loud. And then I went to Ron with them. Mm-hmm. So it's clunky at first, and some people give up on it too soon because it's hard work.
Yeah, it is.
And but here's,
stick with it.
Here's the final word. Renewing your mind is not just renewing your thoughts or renewing your consciousness. Renewing your mind is neurological. This process, the brain science is, you do this over and over and over again, repeat it 50 times in a moment of being triggered, and you actually rewire synapses in your brain and create new pathways that instead of reacting out of old pain, react out of new truth. That is amazing.
That is spiritual.
God is not just renewing your thoughts. Yes. He's renewing your mind. Brain.
And that's what God can do.
That's what he does.
Amen. Yeah, you know, we said it every day so far, but I think it's impossible without the power of God to do this.
Right.
You got to surrender.
That's right.
Yeah.
And we said it yesterday too. You can't have pride and do this.
No. Mm-hmm.
I don't want to do it. I want to blame her.
Yeah.
That's pride.
That's right.
Exactly. That's, I'm not wrong. You're wrong. And to be humble enough to say, I've got work to do.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
This whole marriage could be better if I would do the work. And I can't do it without Jesus. So it's like those two things together. But man, oh man.
Yeah.
Let me say this. If you're listening going, okay, I want to start right now. Here's how you start. FamilyLife.com/mindfulmarriage. Take the assessment.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all in the book.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll send you the book. Just send a donation to Family Life. Become a financial partner with us. We will send you Mindful Marriage as a gift to you for being a blessing to us. It will be a blessing to you. You can do that at FamilyLifeToday.com. Or you can call us at 1-800-358-6329. That's 800-F as in family, L as in life, and then the word today. Man, you guys have been awesome.
Yeah. Thanks, Ron and Nan.
Thank you. You too.
Family Life Today is a donor-supported production of Family Life, a Crew ministry, helping you pursue the relationships that matter most.